Hello, my name is Pooja Apana, and today I'm here with my friends Elijah and Mason. Listener, welcome to Woodside Lane.
Young, my mom had a camcorder camera for the house, and I would use that, and I remember one specific memory of using that to make like home movies with my dad and my mom, and it was like I was dressed as a stormtrooper and I shot my dad. That's all I remember from that. I was like, oh, I want to buy a camera, like my own camera. So I had allowance. I know people have feelings about that, but I had allowance and I bought my first camera. It was $80. I still have it. And it's like an action camera. And I just like made another movie with my friend. It was like a big sci-fi epic. And at this time I was like 7. And then the next year, another friend of mine, because my other friend is very business oriented. Right. I'm very like creative oriented.
Those are the best type of parents,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it was perfect. Yeah. It was like, he was like advertising our web series and YouTube channel. And I was like coming up with like the creative aspects and doing all the editing and stuff.
What was that partnership like?
It was fun. Like, I mean, we were 8, so it wasn't
even
like...
Even as a young kid, you just knew what was up.
Yeah, like, I was like, okay, like, I would be like, okay, here's a business strategy, and then he would be like, okay, here's a better business strategy, and he would be like, and sometimes he would come like, here's the episode idea, I'd be like, no, here's a better episode idea, and then we kind of just worked together and did that.
The conversations in your multiplication class must have been insane.
He wasn't in my school, but we were family friends, and then we were like... My mom, she saw I was really in the film, and my mom's really good at, like, enhancing, like, or supporting anything I'm, like, into. So she found a film school in New Jersey, like, for kids, and my business partner friend and I both went to that, and I kind of just sticked with film since I was, like, 9.
So your parents, specifically your mom, had a big part in your passion.
Yeah, I would say so. Like, my mom was really good at, like, finding programs for me, and my dad was very good at being, like... Because my mom, she would see, like, I want, like, a piece of gear or something. Right. And she would see it as a toy. It's like, oh, he's gonna, like, throw it away in, like, a month or whatever. Right. My dad would be like, eh, just give him time. Let him use it. Like, my first drawing tablet, because I like to animate, too.
Right.
And draw digitally. My first drawing tablet, my mom was like... To my dad, she was like, my dad's name is Russell. She was like, what, Russell? Don't let him buy that. He's going to throw it out. And then my dad was like, no, it's like, he has allowance. It's his money at this point. Let him buy whatever he wants to buy. Yeah. And I still to this day. And like, so all that stuff. So my dad, I think, was really good at like fostering like the materialistic sides of things, like letting me get the equipment I need to kind of just like level up. And then my mom was really good at like finding educational programs and actually supporting like the bigger grand education picture of stuff.
Right. Elijah, did you have like a similar situation with your parents, or like how did that kind of go?
So yeah, so like my parents are both professors. So like with me, it was kind of, my dad always did a great job at just like talking to people and like lecturing to like a whole crowd of students. And my mom was always like, my mom's a person where if she'll talk to you, she'll give you the exact information you need, but in like a very like thoughtful, caring way. Right. So my dad would just be like, find like your groove, and my mom is like, this is how we'll do it. And I think that just kind of led to a path, because basically I remember, like, I don't know, like how I mainly got started was I was in high school, and just like every high school student, moody as hell. And you know, my mom was like a little bit, because like I didn't really, like, as a student I was kind of just very like lackadaisical, like I didn't really like try too much. And she was like, well, you know, you got to think about like what you maybe would want to do. And the thing that would always, like, make me feel better was watching stand-up comedians, especially, like, Dave Chappelle and, like, old Richard Pryor clips.
All the
and,
classics.
Like, all the classics. And I loved watching shows like Community. And then, like, by 2016, that's when, like, Donald Glover's Atlanta dropped. So I was like, oh, my God, like, this is, like, making me feel better. And I wanted to be a stand-up comedian. And then my mom was like, okay, that's cool. But, like, you know, stand-up's usually, like right. They usually write like episodes and everything. Mm-hmm. So she was like, maybe give it a try. And I'm like, okay. And then I wrote it and I was like, oh, I like it a lot. And then, you know, it became junior year. And, you know, we've all been juniors here.
Right.
Everyone's just like you better have a future or you're nothing.
My school is the same.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know,
that was my senior year because junior year, I was like, I don't care.
Exactly. So my junior year, I was like, she was like, you need to find, like, because I didn't even
especially
know.
Especially as an academic, like, she probably, like, really was like, you need to figure out something.
Well, like, it was interesting with my parents because, like, they, because I have three older siblings, right? And, like, my siblings, none of them love school. So I think by me, they were kind of just like, okay, this is just a Gordon thing. Like, kids just, they don't like typical, like, school format. So they're just like, so my mom was just like, hey, we want you to go to college. Just figure out, like, what will be a solid fit. So in the summer, well, in January, there was reported that there is a NYU-Tisch summer high school program. And it was basically, you're there for a summer, you work with kids, and you write scripts. It ends with, like, a 10-minute play festival. You see all these things. And I was like, oh, great. Because the thing is, like, after Providence, I moved to West Hartford. And, you know, in, like, a very suburban setting, it's always stern, computer science, yada, yada, yada. Yeah. And then, like, the most, like, out of, like, the most unique students, only, like, a poli sci major. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, like, there wasn't any, like, script writers. So applied, got in, and then absolutely loved it. That's where I met, you know, Wyatt Mason, which is crazy because that kid.
Miles.
Low key, every, like.
Your longtime collaborator.
My longtime collaborator. Cole. Like, I live with Wyatt.
Yeah.
I work with, like, Mason all the time. We practically live with Mason. Yeah. I see Miles every week, Cole, and then we met those people, and I met more people through those people. So we got insanely lucky.
I mean, meeting each other, yeah, we got insanely lucky.
Yeah.
But I think another reason, my dad always tells me the reason why he was, like, so supportive, he was like, he didn't hear me say, I want to be a director and stuff. He didn't hear me, like, he didn't see me just be like, I want to be an actor, which is like, that's like, you know, way more of a lucky kind of gig to kind of land, especially if you want to do specific types of acting.
Yeah.
But he was like, he saw that I was interested in more so the gear side, and he sells cars. He's a car salesman, but he would always, like, once he saw I got into film, he had to see what people are making income wise.
Mm-hmm.
It would be like, I'd always come home and be like, oh, I want to be a gaffer or something,
yeah,
which is like the lighting guy.
Yeah.
And he would look at, like, to meet someone at work and they'd be like, oh yeah, I'm a gaffer, and he'll make like $200,000 a year. And he was like, oh, okay, as long as you're doing that stuff, you're fine. Because he's like, because he knows, like, I don't have to work for the best thing. Like, I want to do commercials and stuff. Like,
right.
It doesn't really matter to me. I just want to be around the environment.
Right. I actually have a question about that type of stuff. Was your dad supportive because you showed initiative or because you were just a big dreamer?
I think I showed initiative.
Yeah, like, even from a young age, because for me, at least, like, I personally don't think, I mean, I've always been a very, like, intense kid as far as, like, chasing my dreams, but I don't think I really started, like, starting things up until I was in 9th grade. So I guess before then, I was just a big dreamer.
Right? Yeah, I mean, thanks to my mom, though, like, because my mom would try everything. Like, she wanted to give me, the way she always, and I am super grateful, is the way she always worded, like, how, because I'm her only kid. I have a brother, but I'm my mom's only child. So the way she kind of raised me was kind of like, okay, I'm just going to, like, if he has an interest in something, we're just going to foster it and see what he picks up. And I'm extremely lucky because most people don't find what they like that early on.
No, yeah. Like, you know, you two had, like, such crazy journeys, I feel like. Like,
yeah.
You know, as far as, like, finding what you like to do so early on, just really sticking with it.
Exactly. And yeah. I think, luckily, like, I was, like, being able to, like, meet all, like, our, like, crew, and also, like, early on, like, with, like my mom, like, and my dad, like, they were both, like, very, very supportive, and
right.
I think, like, luckily, I'm the youngest sibling, and you have a younger brother, right. So you know the attention younger siblings just receive, and I think they were just like, oh, he's cute, give it a shot, so, yeah, no, I think it was totally, like, a matter of that, and it was, like, I think, like, for me, at least, it was just kind of, like, this is the one thing that, like, keeps me happy, and I feel, like, the most joy doing it, so let's keep it up.
You really appreciate good relationships, like healthy relationships.
Oh yeah.
Because there's so many stories of people being like, man, I was friends with that person for 20 years.
Can I ask some questions, like, too?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Do you think that's because, like, because I've heard your high school stories, do you think it's because a lot of your high school relationships were toxic, so now where you're just like, I need to, like, foster healthy relationships?
Like, not completely. It's just, I always see it as this. Life is about the people you know. And you really need to have good people around you to keep it real with you, to keep it a buck for you, to you to have a great life. So I think in general, like think about it, like we're all here because of the people we know now. So I think it's a matter of just like, I really like just love like talking to people, having a great time with people, enjoying it. And I hope I could do the same with them. And I just want everyone to have a, you know, a good life. Like,
is there something like in your past that made you really start to emphasize the like having positive relationships? Like,
yeah,
relationships in high school that like, and Mason, you can talk about this too. Like,
exactly,
that kind of prompted you to take a step back and be like, shit, I need to like figure out how to facilitate healthy relationships.
Yeah, well, like I remember, like I guess, yeah, to go more back into
we'll
deeper
ask
into
you
this
about
question.
Your trauma.
It starts to like cry in the back. No, I think in general, like I just remember, like many times, like in high school, I would like hang out with people, but then like I won't, because I was just like kind of just like sad and just moody. I wouldn't like talk to them for like 2 months. And even sometimes now, if I'm just like not like naturally feeling the best, I just kind of go into a cocoon. So it's just kind of reminding, like, I'm just a way happier person when I'm with people and mm-hmm. when I talk to people and I see people and I work with people. So I feel like it's in general just not trying to go back into those ways of just like isolating yourself in the world, being in a little cocoon and just branching out mainly. I think that's kind of where it comes from. And then also, like, I guess go a little deeper down, like, when I moved to, I moved to a town called West Hartford, Connecticut, and basically I was first in Providence, and you know, just like anything, I grew up there my whole life, same block, same people. I still talk to like my childhood best friend today, shout out to Calvin Torres. But no, like I just, those were my people. And then when you go to like an area where it's like a city kid, you move to like the suburbs, it's like a totally different type of world. Like, I didn't know what vineyard vines were. I didn't know what like...
All the vineyards.
Exactly. I didn't know what like even like annotating was till like I moved to like this town. I was grade, and people would be like, what are you talking about? And like, I grew up like with kids going to the bus, and now this new area, it was like, you can't go to the bus, it's ghetto. Like total classic, like classist like transition. So obviously it took like a long time to like make friends and like be around a crowd that I was truly comfortable in. So I think now it's like being with the people I'm in my life now, I'm the most comfortable. So I think I really just like value that, I guess. Wow, I just had a revelation. Good job, guys.
Yeah,
<that's great.
laughs>
yeah, so.
How about you, Mason?
I mean, I heard a lot of things from what Elijah was saying, and I kind of like, I had a completely different like experience from my childhood. It was very, when I was very young, because I never moved like state or anything like that, but I've always been moving schools. Like, I never, you know how like there's those schools, public schools, like you grow up with the same people, you graduate
right.
with the same people. Private schools, it's like they still go from like K to whatever.
Right.
I kept moving. I think I've been to like 4 different, like completely different institutions for school for like most of my childhood. So to me, it was like, it kind of just became like my life motto, like, it is what it is. Like, it works out how it works out. So, like, I was also very shy, but I would learn, like, you just make friends. Like, just naturally that kind of stuff happens. And luckily I didn't have, like, depression or anything.
You lucked out on that.
I mean, the good thing about, like, that type of stuff, it's more about the energy you put out than how much you talk to people.
Yeah, because I think at the summer program you guys were like, wow, Mason's very quiet. And then by the end of it, it was like, oh, Mason's very loud and kind of.
I mean, what did you two think about each other like when you first met each other compared to now? Because it's been what, 2 years?
Three years. Wow. Well, like, so I kind
of. Can we talk about the story of the floor meeting?
Yes. You want to tell it?
All right. So
yeah.
at the summer program that we all met at, you know, every creative like NYU. You person that we know now.
I feel like for years when we go on to podcasts, we're just always going to be talking about the summer.
Yeah, we're going
to
be 40.
Oh, dude. We're going to be 40?
Literally
the best advertisement for that summer program.
Yeah, literally it's like we made a short film and met people through this program. It's the most just Jewish.
Why it's
going to
have have like a talk show in the future or whatever, because I know that's one of your dreams, and we're gonna be talking and be like, yeah, I know this guy since I was 17.
I know. The thing is, it's so funny because me becoming friends with Wyatt, I did not know I was like coming into this really tight knit.
Yeah,
guys
we're
are really
already
cool.
A group.
Exactly. Yeah, it was a group. Okay.
And, it's like, and I feel like the great thing, it's like we only introduce people who we actually are like, this is a good person. And then we keep hanging out.
I didn't even have that thought.
Yeah.
I kind of just introduced me. I haven't really had that opportunity, obviously, because we're all in New York and I'm about to move to California. But anytime I introduce people to other people, I'm like, yeah, they're cool. Like I don't even really think about it. I'm like, I don't think they're toxic because I would just not hang out with them. So I hope they're not toxic.
To the floor
meaning how Elijah and I met, because Elijah was on my floor, because you know, you in the summer program you bunk in doors. You're basically a college student with minor restrictions, in terms of like what college students usually have for a whole month, and we're on the same floor, different dorms, but we were doing the icebreaker. Everyone had to sit in the hallway and do like an icebreaker, say your name, where you're from, something interesting about yourself, and I'm like the fourth person to go, and it comes across as sad, but I'm just like not that interested in myself, because you know you're living as yourself every day, so I'm like it's not that important. So like everyone's saying their little facts, like they go to vacation, like they have like a special, like they're double jointed or something like that.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, hi, I'm Mason from Jersey. It's nothing really interesting about me, and everyone goes, like everyone's so sad. I'm like.
Yeah,
I'm not trying to be the sad boy. Like, I'm fine.
I'm mentally okay.
Yeah, I'm mentally okay. I'm just, like, I'm not very outwardly emotional with people because I do a lot of, like, my own inner, like, meditating and stuff like that. So I don't really, by the time I get to somebody, like, my emotions are very, like, direct. Like, I try to be direct with people. And then, you know, it goes down more and more, and then it gets to Elijah, and then Elijah says...
I said the dumbest thing. This is the funny thing. In the summer program, Mason and Wyatt were with me when I turned 17. So I was still 16 when I said this, I guess.
I was 16, too.
Yeah.
You're younger than...
You're younger. He's a young, short king. But basically, they go up to me, and I'm like, I'm Jewish and Jamaican, so I'm Jamaican.
And then gets like a huge floor laugh.
Yeah, which is the dumbest floor laugh like ever, if I'm thinking back on it now. But and then I think we mainly, it was like after, because we had to do like orientation stuff, and like I saw like Mason walking in the same direction afterwards, and I was like, oh, what up, dude? And then totally forced a friendship upon him. So. Up a lot of people, like I first grew up in a very working class like Caribbean area, mm-hmm. So everyone just thought I was either Hispanic or exactly what I was, like mm-hmm. a light skin Jamaican,
right.
Because it was just, you see that all the time,
right?
And then when I moved to the suburbs, it was like, you're Seth Rogen. So it was just kind of like, so it was kind of just like that. So it was like, so even to like now, like a lot of like people, like a lot of people recently just think I'm like Hispanic, even though I don't look Hispanic at all. Like my girlfriend always is like, you don't look that way, like you're clearly what you are.
You have very like, if I don't know if this will offend anybody, but like you have very black features. Like every time I look at like a still of you, because I had to edit our short film, I was like, because I'll get a couple stories from you where like people think you're like white or something. I'm like, he just doesn't look white. I'm like, I know he's light skinned, but
have you ever had situations where people like mistaking you for being white and then be like, yo, like, what are you doing? And things like that.
I mean, like, it's interesting because, I mean, there was that one thing at that party recently. And that was the first time that's ever really happened with someone who was like black, where like randomly there's this group. They weren't good. I'm just going to say it now.
No, they were horrible.
They totally like killed the party and like basically, like, you know, I have dreadlocks. Probably a good thing to have in mind. And I guess they went up to like Tej, and then they were first like, Tej, you're a gentrifier, though Tej lives in the village and he's an NYU student. And he goes, well, Elijah is...
Also, it's important to mention that Tej is also a person of color as well.
Yeah.
But not that obviously like
negates it,
what he said, but just like also to describe, like, it was a big situation that ended up actually being a ridiculous fallout. But I wanted to talk about specifically.
Yeah, yeah. And then, but then that guy was then told Tej, like, oh, like, that kid, like, me, he's, like, he's a cultural appropriator. But then everyone was like, well, he's black. And I think that was like one instance, but like I honestly like didn't really mind. Those guys were whack and they were playing like porn on the screen, so it was just kind of like, dude, you don't care. But I remember one time I was younger, I was like talking to some kids, I was like, oh yeah, you know, my dad's Jamaican. He goes, you're not a nigga, like in middle school. And I was like, oh, you can't say that. And that led to let's just say some not the best amount of eyes. But I feel like in general, and I feel like with me, like I always think like, I don't think a lot of people know what a black person looks like, because I have a lot of features where, as Mason said, it's like I'm clearly a black dude. Like I don't look anything like my mother. I look exactly like my father, but I'm just light skinned, right? Mm-hmm. And like even like yesterday, like I was talking to my girlfriend's mom and like I showed her a photo. My brother is like a big dark skinned black guy. Mm-hmm. And she saw our photo and she goes, wow, you literally are just like, she was like, you are just the light version of him. And I like made a joke. I was saying every time I walk past his old neighborhood, people come up to me. They're like, Matthew, you Michael Jackson yourself? What's going on? So it was just a matter of just like that. But I feel like a lot of people don't understand, like, you know, just like certain like features are like how a black person actually looks like. I think they just think you're dark, you're black. You're light, you're white. I don't think they really understand like what
that how actually, genetics
how genetics work.
They didn't pay attention to bio.
They don't pay attention to bio, but like, you know, most people. And also I feel like another thing is like so many people copy black feet, like so many like these celebrities, like the Kardashians, they're white, but they copy black people features. So I wonder if people actually are too busy copying people that they don't actually know what they actually look like.
Right. And the thing is also in that situation that we were talking about before, I remember like I was kind of like one of the bigger people as far as like talking to them and stuff like that. And I remember sitting there and when that person was like saying, yeah, like he's culturally appropriating me. I'm like, dude, he's like half Jamaican. Like I remember sitting there and getting so upset, like so unbelievably upset. Cause I'm just like, the fact that you're sitting here and you're judging someone when you do not know who they are, how about you educate yourself first before you sit here and call everybody like appropriators and exactly. whatever. Also, like, if we're gonna be honest, we all go to NYU at the end of the day. Like, literally everyone in that room went to NYU. I'm like, what is going
most
on?
Most ironic situation.
And it was also just like, he was like, he seemed like you know those guys who are like, oh, I'm too cool for school. Like, literally. It was like, bro, stop. Like,
no, and I just think, like, you know, also the whole thing about, like, please educate yourself before you decide to sit here and make these bold claims. Because one day, like, it's really going to bite you in the butt. Like, especially, like, the whole thing about, like, a lot of, like, pop culture right now is copying a lot of black culture.
Exactly. I mean, like, think about it this way.
Rap is number one.
Rap is number one. But even the phrases, like, here's the tea, like, that's from black
woman. Sheesh is a new one.
Yeah. Like, that's, like, there's a lot of things where it's like, oh, it's actually, like, people are like, oh, it's from this. But it's like, no, actually, it's from black people. Like... So
I mean, how do you guys feel about like that in general?
I mean, I grew up in the suburbs like my whole life. Like I'm middle class black. I mainly like identity wise got to like, oh, you're the whitest black person I know. It's like, well, you're associating blackness with intelligence or whatever. So, I mean, whiteness with intelligence. So, you know, that's kind of messed up. But for me, it just seems interesting that people don't have like a. Like, you think you don't accept something, and then, like, you just, like, let other things into your home about it. Like you're very much, I won't accept the people, but everything they make is cool. It's like, that's kind of, it's kind of weird, but obviously it's not, like, in the future, I hope that goes away. You start accepting the people, but I think, in, like, the age that we live in, it's very, like, globalization.
So does it bother you, the fact that, like, some, like, people, like, use your culture, or, like, not even like use your culture, but like
use like the heritage.
Yeah, they use the heritage thing and kind of just make it like a pop thing. Like, oh, this is popular and it's okay because it's in popular culture. Like,
I think there's a way to respect it.
There's a way to respect it, and I also think like, I mean, white people have been marketing and making profit off of black people since like, I don't know, forever. Right. So like, I feel like it's a matter of like, you gotta be able to like respect the culture and totally be aware. But I think a lot of people's issues is, one, you just blatantly racist people, but also I think a lot of people are just misinformed at the end of the day and like not very aware. Like I remember one time I was in high school and I was talking to some kid and I was like, oh yeah, like I'm in this theater show. And he goes, well, you know, black people don't act. And then I asked him.
Literally, like, we only have, like, three things that we, like, dominate, which is entertainment,
and then this is
sports,
exactly,
and, like, entertainment again, it's music.
And this is the craziest thing. I then asked him, so, bro, who's your favorite actor? He goes, oh, Will Smith.
Wait, seriously?
I swear to God. You really just have to think for a second. And then it was like, it was kind of like, you ever see, like, Do the Right Thing? You ever seen that movie?
Yes.
Where, like, all Spike Lee's talking to the son of Sal, and he was like, your favorite celebrities are black celebrities. And he goes, oh, but that goes beyond black people. You remember that scene where he was like Magic John? Like, he was like, yeah. So I feel like it's just kind of that moment of like, dude, like, what are you, like, be aware of what you're talking about. But it's also like, and again, like, I remember this is, I had this huge debate. I think it was with my sister. And we were talking about, because I guess it was like during November. And it was like 50 Cent was like, oh, like, go Trump. But like,
I was of course, like, he's rich.
He's rich. But also, this is the funniest thing. I'm like, and then people were like, suddenly like, oh my God, it's a big deal. 50 Cent's endorsing black, like Donald Trump, like, this is gonna change black people's minds, and like, black people aren't supposed to vote Republican, like, they're Democrats. And this is like my stance, right? Obviously, I mean, I was voting against Trump. Fuck Trump, right? let me just make this clear off the bat. Second of all, I don't like when people are like, you're not black if you don't vote Democrat. Because
you're a monolith.
Or you're not black if you do a certain thing. Or yeah, like, yeah.
Because it's like, we're people. Like, obviously, I think most people should not vote for that guy, that Trump. No, should not vote for Trump. But also, like, if a black person wants to vote Republican, they're their own person. They're not like this. There's going to be a rule of, like, you're this race, you're this. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, you do this.
Well, I find that my understanding of that kind of, like, process or mental thinking is, like, there's a difference. You can tell there's a difference between in someone's head between like a person and then whatever other culture they're being derogatory or, you know, discriminating against.
Exactly.
Where it's like you have like people and then you have this group, and this group does this one thing all the time and they live in a box, blah, blah, blah. So when someone steps out of the box, you're like, oh, celebrities. Those are, like you said, like someone said, that's beyond black people.
Yeah.
Like, no, that's a black person, but they're also other things.
They're
like,
other things. And it's also like,
it's only the color of your skin, really.
Exactly. And also, like, the crazy thing was, like, it was like, first of all, I should say this, that Get Rich, Die Trying 50 Cent album, yes, it's amazing. But, like, 50 Cent's not going to change the way I see the world.
Right.
Like, he's not going to, like, I'm not going to be like, wow, 50 Cent voting for Donald Trump. I got to rethink my decision. Like, no. He, like, people acted like 50 Cent was like Obama. Like, he's not. 50 Cent doesn't represent all black people in America.
No, right. Obama literally had to, like, walk on eggshells in terms of, like, what he was culturally doing because that he literally was a symbolic message.
Exactly.
More so than a president.
And then it was like, and again, like, it was so interesting just seeing how Obama is. Because I remember, like, when Obama was senator, it would be like, oh, there was a genocide in Turkey. But once he became president, he couldn't say that anymore.
Right.
So it was just like, hey, man, like, I'm not going to be like, oh, wow, Chuck Norris is a Republican.
I gotta be.
Ooh, white people, is that your congressman? No, it doesn't fucking matter.
Especially nowadays, like, no one is, like, you can't look at someone and just say they're a certain person. I mean, personally for me, like, you know, my background is, my family comes from Mauritius. It's an African island, right? My family has been there for 5 generations. I do not have family in India.
Oh, wow.
So I've been grown up in, like, an Indian sort of culture, but honestly, the first language I spoke, besides English, was Creole, which is an African language.
Yep.
Right? And like, it's a mix of French and all these things. So it's funny because people will sit here and they'll, like, you know, it's obviously doesn't really bother me for me because, like, especially since I'm, like, religious and I do have a lot of part of the Indian culture, but it bothers me when people sit here and they pretend that they know exactly what I'm allowed to do and what I'm not allowed to do.
Right.
Like, you know, I grew up in a very different culture than a lot of these Indian people grew up. I grew up in a very mixed culture. You know, I grew up in a culture that not only was just Indian, but also, you know, European and African. And my food that I make at home is a mix between all these 3 different types of culture.
Yeah.
So that's why for me also, I think that's why I got, like, you know, more offended when people like to point out other people and be like, well, that's that person because they look that way.
Oh, like, I had that in high school.
Yeah. But do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't like it because even though it's not to me, it, like, kind of triggers something in me. It's like, well, like, you can't say that. Like, yo, I know how to speak better French than I know how to speak better Hindi. Like, And you wouldn't know that based off looking off me. So that's also, it's like, it really makes me upset when people decide to sit here. And it's okay if you're uneducated, right? That's fine because I understand. But also, if you don't know something, please don't talk about it. Exactly. I think that's my stance on all of that type of stuff.
Or you can ask questions.
Or ask questions. Yeah. Exactly.
It's fine to not know something. Oh, it's so okay. Because you can learn something new. But yeah. I feel like people are so just, like, insecure and want to be so, like, high.
Like, and mighty. It's also, like, why are you wasting your time? I think it also that, and I think also people just assume you know what, like, if you know something, you're like, oh, assuming it's right.
Yeah.
I know everything because I've lived everything through my perspective. Exactly. So why would it be wrong?
Right. And, like, kind of talking, going back to the whole, like, film, like, situation, like, how has that changed your experience as far as, like, you know, being Black and, like, being in film?
You want to go first?
Yeah, I'll go first. Yeah, I kind of feel like no matter who it is, they can be Black people even. They kind of just expect me to, like, make something about being Black in a stereotypical way.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in the suburbs. I went to school
in New Jersey. Like, yeah, no, in New Jersey. I know.
Like, I went to school for my mom worked really hard to make sure I can get into private school and just go to private school for, like, my entire education. My high school, like, my elementary school friends, most of them were white. My middle school friends most of them were white because I went to Catholic school, like, mainly, like, Italians. I got to high school. That's when I got, like, my diverse friend group. Like, nobody was the same color. So, like, literally for me, it's like, why would I talk about that?
Yeah.
I would be, like, me appropriating, really, if I talk about, like, if I talk about, like, you know, like, corner stores are that time. I mean, the cool thing about growing up middle class Black is that you do get an understanding of, like, both cultures.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Or, like, middle class, like, person of colors. Like, you really do experience both because, like, I would be comfortable taking my friends to, like, Newark, which is, like, the hood.
Yeah.
Like, I don't mind doing that because I've been in that area.
Yeah.
I have family that live there. So I'm like, yeah, this is cool. But I'm also cool going to the suburbs because, like, I grew up there.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, yeah, this is also cool. That's a cool experience you get.
No, it must be also tough, like, just having, like, to constantly, like, you know, the whole film and just having to, like, why, like, you're also just a person. You can make whatever you want to make.
Yeah, it's like,
know?
I don't really, not that I don't connect with, like, Blackness, obviously. I'm proud of my Blackness, but I feel like people talk to me about it, like, I think about it every single day.
Right.
Yeah. And it's like, no, there's literally some days I can remember where I'm hanging out with my friends, and then we're just talking, and then I, like, grab something, and I look at my skin, and I look at their skin, and I'm like, oh, yeah, racism. That's crazy. And
yeah.
Which is, you know, I remember that especially when I was really young, where it's, like, talking to people. Not that I, like, identify as white or anything. It's just, like, it doesn't matter.
Race is just something that identifies, like, you. It's like, yeah, for me, like, I don't constantly think I'm, like, a woman. Like, I'm like, oh, woman. I'm like, just like, I'm just a person at the end of the day. You know, you just want to live your life. But yeah, exactly. Elijah, I feel like
it's really interesting to me. So it's like, I grew up in a middle class family, right? And in Providence, we grew up in the hood. And it was interesting because, like, I didn't have, like, I was one of three people in a house, in a block of, like, 27 houses that actually, like, owned a house. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, like, most people are, like, renting, or they're going in and out. So it was interesting because it was like, okay, I can see what's going on in, like, a very, like, I remember, like, in, because I grew up in, like, South Providence, which is, like, now it's getting gentrified, but, like, when growing up, it was like there was, like, a lead issue. Like, people were just like, people were poor. Like, it was, so it was like, I was able to see that. And then it was interesting because, like, I feel like growing up in Providence, like, if you, and again, we're talking about, like, if you're a person of color, like, a middle class person of color, you're gonna have someone who is not, like, most likely your cousin's not gonna have the same amount of money as you.
Mm-hmm.
It's just,
that was so very common. Like, a lot of my cousins were completely, not my mom's side, because that's the immigrant side, but my dad's side, like, a lot of the cousins were just living differently than this.
Exactly. And the thing is, like, I feel like with me, like, I will never forget, like, my father's, and, like, my father and my mother's journey, because it was, especially, like, my father, because my father is a immigrant from Jamaica. He moved to the Bronx when he was 9 years old, was very poor, like, would move all around the South Bronx constantly, would eat, like, for a whole family, would just have, like, a bowl of lettuce. You know what I mean? So he was really, like, worked hard of, like, where he is now to have, like, a house. And it was just kind of like, I don't want to, you know what I mean? Like, that person worked so hard for the next, like, future of all our kids.
Right, like, for you and, like,
yeah, friends. So it was a matter, and even, like, my mom's family, like, my mom was an immigrant, and, like, her parents, like, didn't have that much money, but then worked to get their money and was able to, like, be, like, professors and all that. So, and also, like, I feel like in general, like, race is always talked about in my house because, I mean, my parents are Africana study professors, you know what I mean? Like they are, like, they talk about just, like, what it's like being Black all the time. So it's a matter of just being aware and understanding that. But when it comes to, like, filmmaking, it's a matter of, like, again, like, I just wanted to make a story. You know, we just make a story, we see how it is, and if it somehow has, like, that, like, political commentary, it just happens to be that way. And I feel like, though, like, what I, like, when I see certain films, I want to be able to be like, okay, this is realistically of, like, this is how you see the world. Like, when we made Crime Pays, we have, it's a very diverse cast. And I...
Yeah, we can actually start talking about, if you guys want to talk about. So just a little context. These two made a great short film. Like, they involved... No, I loved it. I adored it. That's nice. And they involved a lot of our friends, and we got to watch it the other day, and I thought it was really great, and I thought they did a great job. So yeah, anyways, continue.
So, like, one of my biggest complaints about, like, New York City media in general is just, like, there is, for a city that's, like, the most diverse city ever, there is, they do not show that in a lot of media. Like,
so, oh my God, yes!
So, like, to a point, like, my brother-in-law, Simeon, he... Literally, he visited New York for the first time. He's like, I didn't expect this much people of color in New York. And we're like, what do you mean? Like, he was like, because they don't show that media. Like, you have shows like Friends where there's, like, even though it's filmed in LA, it takes place in New York and there's no white people for three seasons. You see a movie.
Black people.
I mean, black people. Yeah, there's no.
It's only white people for three seasons.
Just inverts friends. It's like, it's not our friends, it's bros. But, like, in general, like, no, it's just like, no, again, it was like three seasons where it's. You see no black, not even extra. And even, like, I remember I was watching Harry Met Sally, and I love the way that movie shoots New York City. Mm-hmm. All the, there's only, like, four black characters, and they're all waiters. Mm-hmm. Every single one. And I'm like, okay, yeah, this is still, like, a classic movie or whatever, but also, like, you know, I want to see what I see when I go to New York. I want to see the people I usually talk to, what's worldwide, what's available. So I feel like, and I remember I was talking to my mom about it, and, like, other, like, friends, and she was like, wow, like, I love the way, like, you and Mesa were able to shoot it, because that's just how New York City is, and we don't get to see that all the time. Like, I remember that was one of the biggest complaints with, like, HBO for a while. It was like, you guys have so many shows that take place in New York with no black people. That's why Girls, like, casted Donald Glover for, like, a couple episodes, because they were like, oh, we need diversity now. So it was just kind of like, I think, like, that's the most amount of thought, because it's just kind of like, I want to make a realistic world, and this is what I see, and, like, you're not going to have... only white people in New York City. Like, that just doesn't exist.
Yeah. That also just wasn't my life. Like,
exactly.
Like, it, I mean, like I said, early childhood, it's, like, very split divide between, like, different races. Like, kind of grew up with, like, family friends versus, like, school
friends. Your short film had so much diversity in it. Like, literally, it was, like, all characters were POC, or is there, like, there was some that weren't?
White and cool. All the extras. All the main cast people were POC. Like, the main four characters that was on the line. But, like, there is, I think, only...
That's three. Also happenstance, too.
That's happenstance. It was just kind of... It wasn't, like, intentional. It was just, like, me, shout out to the homie Leilani, and then it was also Miles, and then it was also Mason. Because we were like, let's just work with who we got and who would be totally willing to do it. And it just kind of happened to be that way. And then with the extras, it was like, who's free? And I think, like, the only white people we had were Wyatt, Cole Kaplan, and Cat Bobo, who's another good friend of mine. And even one of the people did a deal, Sophia DeStefano, she's half Italian and half, like, Filipino and Puerto Rican. Oh. So, like, in general, we had, it was just kind of like, that's just how our friend group is. Let's just get this going.
Very diverse. And that's what I'm saying. That's New York.
That's New York. And to add on with Mason, like, in growing up where I was in Providence, very diverse. Again, it was like, only Caribbeans, like, where I grew up. And obviously, you would go to East Providence, and those are, like, the Brown students, like, Brown University students. Let me be clear about that. And also, like, you have, because, you know, most likely the more wealthier an area is, the wider it will get. Right. So when you have those areas, it was like that. But when I moved to the suburbs, it was mainly just white folks. And it was interesting because it was, like, my town, they're like, it's the more diverse suburb, but it was still, like, 82% white people. Like, a mix of that. But it's crazy, though, because you see other areas. I'm sure you guys see this in New Jersey, where you're like, you have an area where it's like 80% white people, you're like, wow, this is really white. But then you go to, like, a town 20 minutes later where it's like 99% white people, and you're like, oh. So yeah, that's just kind of how I was growing up.
I mean, but Jersey's weird, though, because, like, towns that people think are, like, super nice, every town has its own hood. Like, it's like every town has a divide.
Yeah.
So it's like, there's no, it's really weird, because, like, you'll be like, oh, this town is really nice, and you go to the other side of it, and you're like, oh, I'm in the hood now. You're like, that's kind of interesting.
Join me next week for part 2.